If your small company would like a 30-second commercial during every episode of the Player Spotlight series, please email me, Vince McKee, at coachvin14@yahoo.com. We can discuss pricing and address any needs your small company may have. We give each advertising sponsor a 30-second commercial read during every game or fight that we broadcast. Also, a 700-word article on the website, as well as your logo on our Facebook page. Contact me, Vince McKee, at coachvin14@yahoo.com. If you like what we do here at Keon Sports, the only way we can survive is with sponsorship money. So please, if you know any small businesses, send them my way. And now, the 2019 high school football season year in review.
Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your. There's a time that I remember.
Tonight, a very special episode of the Keon Sports Podcast, the 2019 high school football season in review. You remember the big plays, the big moments, the times you cheered, the times you cried. Tonight, we look back on a magical season. I'm your host, Vince McKee. Sit tight, sit back, and enjoy the show.
Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the dreams bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Keon Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Vince McKee. It was a year ago this weekend that Keon Sports was formed, a dream I've had since I've been a little boy. So many people to thank, so little time. But just know, in this past year, if you've touched my life, I hope and pray I've let you know. So many good parents, so many incredible young student athletes. It's been one hell of a ride. Tonight, I want to take this opportunity to look back on the last 15 weeks of all of our lives. It started back in August, the final weekend of August, flew by, and here we are. State championships have been completed in Canton, and we've arrived at this moment. The one-year anniversary of Keon Sports corresponds with the end of high school football season. Again, everybody, thank you from the bottom of my heart. So sit back, let's get rolling. Well, guys, I touched on it there in the opening, and it is so true. What a magical season it was. You know, when we started doing this last year, we started off with hockey. A lot of people don't realize that, but our first broadcast was a hockey game. The next night, we did basketball, went steamrolling from there. Little did we know that boxing would be the most popular thing that we do, and eventually the Player Spotlight series as well. But at the end of the day, you know, I'd been in press boxes for the last 5 years, writing about sports, covering sports. And as everybody knows, I do it on the side. You know, I wish this was my full-time job. It's not. Hey, maybe we get some more sponsors. Maybe it will be one day. Who knows? It's okay to dream. But it's something I do. You know, they call it a labor of love because I love doing it. And we knew, you know, me, Ruben, Alexa, Tony Bogan, Tyler, Mike Triv, all our guys, Mike Rogers, obviously, we all knew, you know, hey, we're building a good base here. Our fan base is getting big. Our Facebook followers are getting big. Our Twitter, all that stuff. We saw the numbers coming in from boxing, from soccer over the summer with NPSL, obviously with hockey and basketball last year. But we knew as a team what we wanted to do. We wanted to broadcast football 3 games a weekend. You know, I went out, bought 3 recorders, trained my staff on how to do it, 3 broadcast teams. And that was our goal. We wanted to give the student athlete a voice, cover it in a way no one else was covering it. And, you know, the biggest reason we taped it and did podcast style so the players and the parents could go back and listen to it after the game. That was the biggest reason we did it that way. And it worked out perfectly. So just wanted to thank everybody. Now, here's how I do this, okay? So as much as I wish I could be covering more than one game at once, and a lot of times I take heat from people, which I shouldn't have to take, about covering the same team multiple times, the way it works out is the schedule, all right? Where I live, where I work, where my employees live, where they work, where the games are played, it all has a balance to it. And if one game has three radio stations in it or two radio stations, we're not going to do that one because there's not enough room. You don't want to sit right next to another play-by-play guy, and I'll talk to you about that in a second here. So the way the games fell out is the way they fell out. Obviously, we wish we could have covered more teams, but we did the best with what we had. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you about every game that I covered as an announcer and a writer, the kids, some of the parents who touched my life. And trust me, guys, there's a lot of them. It was a magical season for that. And really, you know, just a little bit about everything, and we'll see what you think. We enjoyed it immensely. All right, so let's start. So week one, coming in, for me, an emotional week right off the bat. I'll tell you flat out. Two reasons. One, my daughter Maggie, who is 6 years old, was her first day of kindergarten. The first week of high school football season was also her first week of kindergarten. Big deal for her daddy. Obviously, Maggie, one of my two daughters, with my wife Emily, very special to me. So it was a big week for us. Me and my wife always take off the first week of school, make sure that we're there every single day to get them on the bus, get them off the bus. Well, for now, just Maggie, but get her on the bus, get her off the bus. Back when she was in preschool, we used to drive her there. It was great. So coming into opening night of football, you know, emotions were high, and I was feeling so good that I wanted to do a doubleheader. So Thursday night, opening night, was Westlake and Rocky River. So it was Rocky River at Westlake and the inaugural Westwood Cup. So the inaugural Westwood Cup was that night. And as I drove there, all I could think about was my grandma, who passed away on July 31st. My grandma, Rosemary DeLuca, a huge part of my life. A story that I don't need to get too deep into, but pretty much raised me the first couple years of my life when my mom was sick and my dad was working like crazy to take care of my mom. And it was just a crazy thing. But regardless of all that, I am Italian, and in the Italian culture, and other cultures too, but I know in Italian culture, we hold our grandmother of the highest regard. And I got to see her all the time. Like I said, she was there to raise me in the beginning and just the rest of my life as well. I never went without seeing her. Just a huge part of my life was my grandma. So I had dedicated that season that we just had, this season, to my grandmother, Rosemary DeLuca. And that first night, pulling into the parking lot at Westwood High School, I looked over and I saw the Westwood Cup. And I just smiled and I breathed in. It was so beautiful that night. It was so beautiful. I'll never forget how nice that weather was. It was just like she was with me that entire night. My guy, Ruben Rodriguez, was there with me, my broadcast partner that night, Ruben Rodriguez. And it was a good little game. 7-6 at halftime. Westlake, surprisingly, was winning. And, you know, but again, Rock River came out in the second half, made the adjustments they needed with Braden Spees, Kristen Dean, the Beebe brothers, Tommy and Owen Beebe, Charlie Hudson, Tommy Pike, or is it Joey Pike? I'm sorry, I don't have my notes in front of me. Just an amazing night, guys. Obviously, Zach Wagner. Rocky River looked real good in that second half. They blew the doors off of Westlake in that second half. Two pick sixes in that game. The Beebe brothers looked tremendous. And you could tell, even as a sophomore, that Braden Spees was going to be a very serviceable quarterback. And he was more than serviceable. That young man had a tremendous season. He's only a sophomore. One of the Beebe brothers, only a sophomore. That team has a very, very bright future. Just a very fun opening night. Matt Michael Radguy, somebody I've always liked to listen to. He used to call the Cavs games. He's been on the radio. He does Spectrum Sports. First night I've got to meet Michael Radguy. Very cool night. So night two comes along. Much different scenario. you know, not that there wasn't a ton of expectations for Westlake Rocky River, but Westlake hadn't won a game in a while. Rocky River's coming off a playoff season, but they had a lot of graduates. The next night, though, oh my God. So the Silver Rail Trophy, and here's where it all begins. It all begins. So Avon Lake, here's the deal. Number one, Ruben couldn't make it. He had to leave and go out of town for a wedding. So I know right then and there, okay, I'm going to be by myself. All right, no problem. I show up to Avon High School, Joe Ferment Stadium, I should say. everybody and their brothers in the press box. You have Spectrum News, the Ohio Media School, WEOL, WBOL, and Keon Sports. You literally have six play-by-play men in one box, okay? So for those of you who have listened to a Browns game on the radio, imagine a press box with six Jim Donovans in it trying to coexist. It was hell, but it was such a big game, I was going to take any spot I could get. I didn't care. I ended up having to sit right next to Kevin Arnold, who's actually a really good guy, friend of mine, very good person, from the Ohio Media School. So as he is calling the game for the Ohio Media School, I'm 2 inches away from him calling that exact same game. If you can even imagine how difficult that is, I can't begin to tell you. Picture yourself trying to give somebody directions on how to do something, whether it's build a stereo system or an entertainment center, I should say, or even like directions on how to get somewhere, okay? So you're trying to give this person directions, and there's somebody 6 inches from you giving somebody else directions. And the directions they're giving are slightly different than the directions you're trying to give. And meantime, as you're both doing that, you're both trying to explain something, there's something going on in front of you that you need to have full attention on. So if you could picture the difficulty that night, oh my gosh. So now, the part that always gets me in trouble. Avon Lake. All right. So that night, all right, to me, and I've said this, and oh my God, has it gotten me in trouble. But, okay, Avon won the game. Avon looked good. Avon Lake looked good. But Avon really had two drives all night with Nick Perusik, ended up capping both off with touchdowns. Avon Lake shot themselves in the foot so many times that night, it was ridiculous with penalties and everything else. Now, clearly, I'll say it again. Avon won the game. That particular night, they were a better team. They outperformed Avon Lake. They had every right to win that game. I could tell right away, okay, Avon's going to be as good as they've ever been despite all the graduates. The thing about it was, is that Avon Lake, okay, had several injuries that night. So a part of you kind of feels cheated as, oh man, they weren't really at full strength. But I'm a strong believer in God. Okay, as people know who've listened to this podcast, I'm sure you've figured out that by now. So I believe that the Lord works in mysterious ways. He did that night for Avon Lake, and I'll say this, okay? Despite losing the game, here's what happened. So they had a defensive injury that ended up moving Harry Abear from quarterback, he was splitting time with Michael Corbeau, to linebacker for Avon Lake. Avon Lake's defense, after that night, went on a roll. We all know about it. Six shutouts in the next 9 weeks. A couple garbage touchdowns, or it could have been almost eight shutouts. Just a ridiculous stretch run for Avon Lake's defense the rest of the season. Now, Avon went about it a different way. Avon was one of the grittiest teams I've ever seen in my life. All the injuries Avon went through, and they were still blowing out teams. We'll get to that in a bit. So, for me, though, that turned out to be, at least for me, the last time I ever saw Nick Perusik play. By the time I would cover Avon again, he was hurt and done. But that night, what a blessing it was to watch him play. And also Joey Lance and Danny Zay, Noah Mangan, they weren't short on talent. They're never short on talent. Obviously Hunter as well, Devin Hunter. Just an incredible, incredible program like all the runs there. They deserve to have the pack house that they did. They deserve to have, that filled up media press box that they did with all those people in it. And it's funny because, tell you about Kevon Arnold, but also in front of me is Andy Baskin, somebody I grew up watching on Channel 5, somebody I listen to every day on 92.3. To the right of me is Tim Elkhorn, who is now the voice of the Cavs radio, which just goes to show you how much has happened since that night. Fred McLeod passing away and everything else that went down, the trickle effect there for the Cavs. But long story short, Avon Lake, it was built up to be the super matchup that it is. Avon wins by a point to reclaim the Silver Rail Trophy. Wasn't the greatest of games because of the injuries, the penalties, and the fact that they had it week one, which I'm on the record saying this, was a horrible idea. I hope that somebody listens to this, petitions the OHSAA. That is the biggest game on the SWC calendar. If anything, have it week 10 or have it like week 7. Do not have it week 1 ever again if possible. It's just silly. Why? I don't know why you would do that. So, regardless, great game, great night. Could have been a little bit of a better game. It was a little sloppy, but at the end of the day, It's what a rivalry game is all about. Two great coaches, Matt Kostelnik of Avon Lake, Mike Elder of Avon. We move to week two. Week two, I was at Brunswick versus North Royalton. What a funny, funny night this was. So we do a thing here where we record the games and then we replay them. So again, the players and the parents can listen to it. I have a special red button on this remote. All right. If I ever accidentally touch this red button, it immediately ends the broadcast. You can't merge them. You're basically screwed. So if you accidentally touch this red button, you're screwed. If it's not the end of the game. Keep that in mind for a second. So it's me and Tyler Stotsky. Love Tyler. Tyler Stotsky is the sports director at Walsh University. Very good friend of mine. He'll be over here tomorrow night and dinner with us. Great guy. One of the hardest working human beings I've ever met is Tyler. So, you know, I'm down on the Philip Perry game. I'm doing the coaches show, and we're still looking for a sponsor for that, by the way. Doing the coaches show, talking to both coaches, getting some audio. I come up. We're getting set up. First couple plays of the game, Brunswick scores immediately. Right off the rip, Brunswick's up 7-0. And Jacob Charette and that team looked amazing. Brunswick, who had won like one game a season for a couple years, no one expected anything out of them. They looked amazing. They had blown out Lorraine week one, a shocker to a lot of people. Then they came out week two. North Royalton was ranked, and Brunswick just punches them in the mouth. Right off the bat, it's 7-0. Then it's 14-0 right away. And Brunswick is dominating them. Then something really sad happened. So I told you how my mom was sick. She's an epileptic. I've seen seizures before. They're not pretty. And you never get used to them. You know, it's one of those things to me that I never like to see. It's a horrible, horrible sight. And unfortunately, a kid from North Royalton on their special teams went into a full-blown seizure. So the game goes into a halt. It's just scary as all holy hell. You know, I immediately go on social media asking for prayers for this kid. Just a horrible, horrible moment. So Tyler, God bless him, love this kid to death, accidentally pushes that red button. Instead of hitting pause, he pushes the red button, that dreaded red button. Boom! Instantly ends our broadcast. And oh my God, I was like, no! But, you know, with the way the world goes sometimes, you just got to roll with the punches. So what we did, you know, we immediately scrapped that audio. You know, it was about a good 25 minutes at that point. A lot of stuff. Sponsorship reads, pregame show, the first two touchdowns. But, you know, when you do the stuff like this, you have to roll with the punches. Sometimes you have no choice. So we just restarted the broadcast from that point on, middle of the first quarter. Unfortunately for North Royalton, they couldn't restart. They ended up getting just shellacked beyond belief. Brunswick with the big win that night. And Brunswick absolutely looked brilliant, you know, for the majority of that season. A great story. And I would say watch out for them in the coming years with Jacob Charette. And as I'm telling this story, I have Tyler texted me. I mean, how crazy is that? So I'm going to pause this. Hopefully I don't hit the red button. Joey Maruzak, North Royalton, went on to have a good year. So did Brunswick. Just a fun opening night. Another memory that sticks out from that night. The PA announcer who sat next to me and Tyler, very nice guy, but he wouldn't stop talking. So basically, you know, he knew that we were recording the game, you know, doing a broadcast. He, like, tried to be on it. And it was really funny because me and Tyler would be doing our back and forth, like an Al Michaels and a Chris Collinsworth, you know, or Tony Romo and Jim Nance calling the game. And this guy, like, wanted his 2 cents in everything. So he kept leaning over to our mic and talking into it. It was hysterical. But he was such a nice guy, I didn't have the heart to yell at him and tell him to stop. Now, the following week, we're back to talking about Avon Lake again. So, it's Avon Lake versus Berea Mid Park. Two of the best sets of parents you're ever going to meet are Avon Lake parents and Berea Mid Park parents. And quite frankly, Avon parents as well. Don't worry, guys. I'm going to get to you in a bit. But, Avon Lake parents this season, you know, Stephanie Lair, Kevin McKinley's dad, Mr. McKinley. Obviously, I've known Bob Mikulich for a couple years now. Guys, the list goes on and on and on. I don't want to name everybody because I don't want to start embarrassing kids. You know, Gretchen A. Bear. Just so many different parents. Okay, Daniel Ostrom's his son, Matt. So, Daniel, they were so good to me this year. And when you get the support of parents, that means the world to you. You're going to keep covering those games when that happens. You know why? Number one, because it's the right thing to do. But number two, the team's good. But number three, honestly, if people are supporting you, that means they're clicking on your stuff, your articles, they're listening to your games, they're reading what you're writing. Why wouldn't you reward that? So to me, it's a smart business move as a broadcaster, a company owner. You go where the crowds are. You go where people want you to be there, right? It is what it is. So week three is Berea hosting Avon Lake. Now, Berea Mid Park, don't want to offend anybody. Berea Mid Park has been so good to me from my days back as a writer at that old website I used to write for, NEO Sports Insider. Shout out to them. So they've always supported me, always supported my writing. I feel like I'm at home when I'm in Berea Mid Park. Something about it, I call it the triad with Middlebrook Heights, Berea, and Brook Park. Great people, blue collar people. So you have two fantastic fan bases. Week three turns out to be a crazy night. And this to me, okay, so week one, I saw Gage Dusler and Griffin Lydiard and Michael Corbo and the receivers, you know, Cree Bologna, Nathan Sitolowski, Fetters, the defensive line with Marsh and Kovac, and just everybody who really stepped up. You know, phenomenal year. I do not want to leave people out. I'm just kind of naming people at the top of my head here. But so I saw a little bit of that week one against Avon, but not a ton. Quite frankly, it wasn't their best game. Week three, Avon Lake came out rolling. And I mean rolling. They were up 14-0 on Luke Devins and Berea Mid Park. Obviously, Berea Mid Park, a rebuilding season. You know, they had tried some new things that night. John Lyons at running back for the first time. You know, again, the left-handed sensation there, the sophomore, Luke Devins. They just, you know, Jared Buzinski on the line was kind of the steadiness there, moving to from left tackle to right tackle to help out the left-handed quarterback. But overall, you know, John Hunick's boys, they were trying a lot of new things. So it should have been a blowout, but it wasn't in that first half. They hung in there. It was 14-0. Avon Lake led. And by the way, I had to do that game by myself. This time, Ruben called off because he had to work the Indians game. He does. He works Indians games on the side. So had to fly solo again. Not the end of the world. Avon Lake's up, and they're looking good. Gage Dusler ripping through the line. Griffin Lydiard, that night against Berea Mid Park, had one of the sweetest interceptions I've ever seen. This kid is a fullback and a linebacker, and he's got hands like glue. You would never think a kid as big as him would be this athletic, but he was. Lydiard picks off Devins, returns it for a pick six. They got called back because of holding, or else it would have been a touchdown. The interception still counted. It was just incredible. It was really, really cool. You know, they look good. And for me personally, on a personal note, I love being in Berea Mid Park. I love the Baldwin Wallace press box. I'd worked there so many times as a writer, so many times as a soccer announcer for Cleveland SC, but never as a football, you know, high school football announcer until that night. So that to me was a personal high, you know, a personal cool moment to finally get to do that. Then the rains came. Have you ever seen rain? Oh my God. So it starts pouring, thunderstorm, lightning storm. It is crazy. So the game goes into this massive delay. I go down to the field. I need to use the bathroom like I always try to do at halftime. And so I'm running down there, and like people are stopping me to talk because I know so many people. You know, Terry Kupik, wonderful lady from Berea Mid Park. I know so many Berea Mid Park parents that I've met over the years. And like I've said, as this year started to grow a little bit, I started to meet more and more Avon Lake parents. So I go down there. I just need to use the bathroom. It's storming, but everybody's milling around. No one knew what the hell to do. They didn't know if the game was going to restart or what. So the next thing you know, I'm talking to Berea Mid Park parents. Avon Lake parents are coming over to me and introducing themselves for the first time. It was just wild. Both teams come out of the locker room. They're standing around. Everyone's just standing there talking to each other. Cheerleaders are talking to each other. It was one of those bizarre situations I've ever seen. Joked around, you know, a few weeks later with Gage Dusler and Matt Ulstrom and Kai Kawalu of Avon Lake. You know, I got a picture of the three of them eating nachos together in their full pads, full uniform. It's just classic. So it was a wild night. They called the game at halftime 14-0. Had to come back the next day, and Avon Lake just blew them out. It is what it is. I mean, Berea Mid Park had one of the better comeback stories this year. Finished the year 4-6, just a phenomenal second half of the season to Berea Mid Park, which shows the kind of guy and kind of coach John Hunick is. He's very special. But hey, that night was not their night. Either was the next day, as Avon Lake looked so impressive. Michael Corbo running the RPO. Michael Corbo is one of the better RPO quarterbacks I've ever seen. They look like the real deal. They just looked damn good that night on offense, on defense. Avon Lake was running on all cylinders. So that was week three. Week four rolls around. Very special. So week four, I remember a couple things. It's Amherst at North Olmsted. Unfortunately, my boy Rubano couldn't be there again. So for the third time in 4 weeks, I had to call a game by myself. But that night is special to me, and the biggest reason why, not only North Olmsted is where I live, where I went to high school, but my daughter Maggie, who you heard me talk about in the very beginning of this episode, my kindergartner, my little bean, one of the best parts of my life, if not the best part. So Maggie made her cheerleading debut that night. So if you can imagine how cool it was for me being her father, getting to be there to see this. She's down on the sidelines again in the chair with the varsity cheerleaders. Obviously, at halftime, I left the booth, you know, hit pause, went down there, watched her cheer. Just incredible. So as a daddy, that was the most special night of my season by far. The game itself sucked. Terrible. I did 3 North Olmsted games this year. All of them absolutely sucked. They were all blowouts, but I'll get to that in a bit. So, and I like North Olmsted. Hey, again, that's where I live. Whatever. But, you know, I'm not going to, I'll call a spade a spade. They had a rough season. That night, Amherst lit them up. Tyler Brezina was the quarterback. He had a few weapons around him that did well, but Tyler Brezina really stepped up that night. He had an early interception for Amherst, okay, but shook it off. They were in the red zone. They're about to score against North Olmsted to start the game, and Tyler throws an interception, but he shook it off. The rest of the game, that kid did not let that affect him. He was sizzling. You know, the rest of the game, he torched him. I want to say 4 touchdown passes, almost 300 yards, just lit up the Eagles' defense. Amherst moved to 4-0 that night. And Tyler Brezina, you know, went on to be our player of the week, the Jenny's Popcorn player of the week. We had him on a podcast. He did a great job. He was one of our very first guests, him and Jacob Charette, of the, you know, the Player Spotlight series. So, Tyler, my hat's off to him that night. Amherst looked good, 4-0. North Olmsted, my alma mater, not so much. But again, to me, as a daddy, in my heart, that night, about the bean, the Magster. Week 5 was a blowout. It was Normandy at Rocky River. Rocky River, to me, that night looked great. Now, there was a few sets of parents this year that really stood out to me the most. I'll just go ahead and say it. Talked about Avon Lake. Definitely Avon. Avon really took me in as their own, even though I picked them to lose one time and everybody went nuts. So, as well they should. Why not? They're a fan base. But, you know, Avon Lake, Avon, Breaman Park is always, you know, first in my heart, no doubt about it. I feel like I'm at home every time I'm in Breaman Park. But also Rocky River. Crazy, right? Rocky River, where I really have no ties to. I worked at Rocky River Heinen's a little bit, you know, out of high school. That's about it. But Rocky River this year, oh man, did they step up. Treated Keon Sports unbelievably well. Shout out to Mark Wagner, the AD there. Really enjoyed covering the kids. Had a bunch of them on the Player Spotlight Series. Kristen Dean, the BB Brothers, Tommy and Owen, Braden Spees. We had them all on. The parents were amazing. You know, Braden Spees' parents reached out to me that day of the Normandy game. I had no idea who they were. They reached out to me. Turns out Braden's mom went to school with my brother at North Olmsted. Awesome family. Awesome community. I don't know if anybody's going to, from Rocky River, is going to listen to this. I pray that you guys do. Just an amazing, amazing community. Please never change who you are. It's just, I was so touched. So touched. That Rocky River community this year took me in as their own. I'll never forget it. Thank you. I know a few people got real pissed off when we started having Bay Village Rocket people on the Player Spotlight Series, but hey, that's the way it goes. You gotta be fair. You gotta call it 50-50. Other than that little fiasco, everything else, super cool, and I thank you. That night, not very cool at all for Normandy. It was a running clock to start the second half, just an all-out blowout. But, you know, until Normandy stops charging kids to play, maybe they'll get more kids to play. I have no idea what to tell you there. Good coaching staff, though. The head coach of Normandy, I forget his name off the top of my head, but he was a real good guy. Good football man, too. He knew his stuff. But if you're under man, you're under man. There's only so much you could do. All in all, that night, though, Tommy BB, Owen BB jumped off the page. Zach Wagner as well. Clearly, Braden Spees had it going. That team's good, man. Look out for Rocky River. I'll flat out say it. Look out for Rocky River in the years to come. They're young, but they are loaded with talent. You know, life's a funny thing. So Normandy at Rocky River is a blowout. Rocky River wins big. Can't say it enough. I'll say the kids' names again. Give their parents one last slap on the back there. Zach Wagner, Braden Spees, Kristen Dean, Tommy Beebe, Owen Beebe, Zach Wagner, Pike, either, I want to say it's Joey Pike, but I have a weird feeling like I'm wrong, and Charlie Hudson. Just those were the kids that jumped out to me the most. But overall, like, it's just a great team, regardless, even if I missed somebody, which I know I did, great team. But that's a blowout, right? Move on to the next night. I did a doubleheader that week, so we're still in week five. I wanted to cover St. Ignatius. I love St. Ignatius. My cousin played there. My best friend went there. I've been a St. Ignatius football fan since I've been 5 years old. My cousin, who is much older than me, he's got a good 10 years on me, I think. He went there, and like I said, he was in the band. So he started going there in the 80s when Chuck Kyle took over, when I first started going to high school football games when I was 5 years old. So really, the only football I knew as a kid was the Cleveland Browns and St. Ignatius. I probably didn't start watching Ohio State until I was like 7 or 8. But early on, it was Browns, Ignatius, Browns, Ignatius. So anytime I get a chance to do an Ignatius game, and it's tough for me because they play on Saturdays, I don't like to be away from my wife and kids 2 nights in a row. Flat out, I'll say it. So if I'm gone on a Friday night, I don't really like to be gone on a Saturday night. I want to be home with my girls. But this was a special thing. They were playing a team from Toronto, Clarkson North, as they call them. And so Clarkson North comes in. All right, and it's a fun night at Byersfield. You know, really cool. But because they're from Canada, they got like, I don't know, maybe 15 people in the entire stands for them. Like, I felt terrible for this team. But they were good, and they were hanging in there with Ignatius. So Ignatius is up by 6 with, I think it was 6.2 seconds to go. Quincy Vaughn drops back, launches one. It's a Hail Mary from 60 yards out. The kid catches it in the corner of the end zone, gets both feet down. Tristan Mashad. So Mashad goes up, catches the ball, ties the game with no time remaining. I am screaming. If you can imagine a Hail Mary pass, I literally said, oh my God, sweet Mother Teresa, Holy Toledo, the whole deal. He's got it. I'm screaming in the St. Ignatius press box, going nuts, because it was the craziest thing in a high school football game I've ever seen. It was a magical moment. This year was filled with them. They kicked the extra point. They win. So obviously, St. Ignatius loses in a heartbreaker. So the next day, next afternoon, sitting there with my family, watching the Browns game, all of a sudden, I look down at my phone. It's going berserk. They took my voice, the call, Clarkson North did. Somebody was there filming the game for them from Canada. They put my voice to the film. The damn thing went viral. They put it on Twitter. Everybody and their brother started viewing it. It had like, within, by the time I looked at it, it was like 6 minutes old, had 13,000 hits. If you could picture that, 13,000 hits in 6 minutes. It went berserk. I mean, they at the time, St. Ignatius was one of the top-ranked teams in the country. Not the state, the country. Canada comes in, miracle finish. Just, to me, as a play-by-play guy, one of the most amazing things that ever happened. And then it began. Started getting contacted by, you know, Canadian radio stations, Canadian TV stations. The next thing I know, I'm doing interviews like crazy in Canada. Teasing my wife, hey, we're going to have to move to Canada. Maybe I'll finally get my break. God knows nobody in this market will give it to me. Maybe we could go to Canada. And it was just amazing. So, a memory I'll never forget. I was, you know, hey, whatever, Ignatius lost, but oh my gosh, just crazy, crazy, crazy. Called my first ever Hail Mary touchdown pass to win a game 60 yards out. Quincy Vaughn, Tristan Mashad, Clarkson Football North takes it as we move on to week number 6. Week number 6, another cool moment. And as I do this podcast, I think of just more and more cool stuff that happened to me this year. This was a fun night. This was old school football. I was out in Oberlin. It was, it was Oberlin at Columbia. So I was out in Columbia. So for those of you who don't know about Columbia High School, very small. They have a dirt grass field. Okay, it's grass, but it's very dirty. They have a tiny pine wood press box. No heat, no air, no windows. You freeze your butt off. This was October 4th, so it was just starting to get cold, but it was so much fun. It was so much fun. One of my best friends, Joe Graham, who I've been friends with since third grade, his son plays for Columbia. He was a junior this year, Jordan Graham, and it was his birthday. And that's the reason I did it, or else why the hell would I have been covering Columbia Oberlin. At the time, they were both 1-4 or 1-5, something like that. Well, week 6, so I think they would have been both 1-4. No, I'm wrong. Oberlin was 1-4. Columbia was 0-5. They hadn't won a game yet. So why would I be doing that game? Obviously, I was doing a favor to somebody, and it was a blast, though. Joe came in and called the game with me. Ruben that night couldn't make it. Not to keep throwing my boy under the bus. He was there for the he was there for River Normandy, and then Eli was there the next night for Ignatius Toronto. But and that ended up being, I want to say, the last game Ruben ever missed. So it's okay. That night he had to work. So he works at KeyBank, so he had to work his night job. Not a big deal. But so I had to bring Joe Graham in from the bullpen. And Joe Graham had never done anything in broadcasting before. It was his rookie offering, and he did an amazing job. So that was a fun night. Columbia won. I want to say it was like 54-32. It was all running back and forth, up and down the field. Just a fun game to call. So thank you again, Joe Graham, for stepping in. Now, the following week, week 7, this is where everything starts to change. The course of the season starts to change. Week 7. It is Avon at North Olmsted. Let me just double check this. I'm doing all this from memory. Yep. Avon at North Olmsted. So, Nick Prusik's hurt. I didn't even learn this until I got to the field that night. Talking to Coach Mike Elder, he tells me all about it. I'm like, oh, man, that's a bummer for them. He's their best kid. But you know what? They still had Danny Zay, a really good quarterback. They had a do-it-all player in Joey Lance. They had a phenomenal running back in Devin Hunter coming off that bench to start and replace a Prusik. And that's all they needed. That team, no matter what you put against them, and this is where everything started to form. I did the rankings that week that went viral. This is where the SWC started to take shape, where Avon, this team that you never really saw lose, okay, they weren't about to lose, but all of a sudden they had adversity against them, giant adversity. And they would just rise past it. That night, they were up 17-0 at halftime against North Olmsted. Came out, blew the doors open in the second half, blew them out. Like I said, I did 3 North Olmsted games this year. None of them were pretty. But Avon, to me, that night, showed me what a true team is like. A good fan base, the whole deal. Just an amazing night for Avon. They improved to 7-0. And even without Nick Prusik, they told me that night, just watching them, regardless of the injuries, because they had more than just Prusik, they had correct me if I'm wrong, but Toshchek was hurt. So they had plenty of injuries besides Prusik. But again, that night, bottom line, Avon looked for real no matter who they were going to play against. So the next week, week 8, I want to say. Let's double check this here. Yep. Week 8, Bay Village at Rocky River. So I've told you how I feel about Rocky River parents, the community, the players. They cannot seem to win this rivalry game against Bay Village. Bay Village, the Rockets, again this year, phenomenal job running the ball. They knew how to pound it. They knew how to score with it. They knew how to do ball control. They had what it took. Quarterback Logan Lemire didn't have to pass much, but when he did, he was smart with the ball. Fullback Joe Gelati, incredible to open up those holes. And the running back, Nick Buttari, this kid is so fast. He's small, too. Well, I should say he's small. He's tall. He's like 6'1", but only weighs about 170 pounds. I mean, he's not that typical bruising fullback, tailback, I should say. I apologize, tailback. But he's so quick, he would hit the hole. 30-plus carries that night, went on to be our player of the week with Jenny's Popcorn. Huge shout-out to Bay Village. It was old-fashioned smash-mouth football out of Bay Village that night. They won in the trenches. My hat's off to him, man. And good kids, too. We had Nick Buttari on the show that week on the Player Spotlight. We had Logan Lemire. We had Joe Gelati. Then we had their coach, Ron Rutt. Great group of kids. Looking forward to seeing them play again. That night was our last night in Rocky River that year. That season did 3 Rocky River games, a ton of games for Rocky River. 3 of them, to be exact. They finished 2-1 in those games we did for them. And that was the first time we saw them lose that year. I've now done that rivalry game 3 straight seasons as a writer and now a broadcaster. And Bay Village has definitely owned them in that rivalry game. So Rocky River is going to have to step it up next year. I'm sure they will. Just always, always a great time. Great game, I should say, when those two teams play each other. I wish nothing but the best of all the graduating seniors from both schools. You were a part of an excellent rivalry. And I am positive that the underclassmen this year will do everything they can to continue such an amazing, amazing rivalry. Now, Here we go. So here's the stretch. I told everybody I would talk about it. So here's the stretch that, and I can laugh about it now, and I've made up with everybody, and to the best of my knowledge, everything's okay. But here is the stretch coming up that gets me in a bit of a trouble with Avon, the parents, the coaches, just whatever, because it all worked out where I ended up covering Avon Lake like 5 straight weeks. Here's where it all begins. Now, first, let me just preface this, okay? Week 9, I was supposed to cover and call the Olmsted Falls game hosting Avon, all right? Originally, it was Avon at Olmsted Falls. I was going to call the game. It ended up not happening simply because it was a big game. WKNR was there, WEOL, I think WBOL. It was going to be a crowded box. So I said, you know what? It's all right. I'll pick a different game. Give myself a little bit more room to work with. I'll just go pick a different game. So me and Ruben end up with, you guessed it, Avon Lake at North Olmsted. So yet again, unfortunately for North Olmsted, they get blown out. Now, before the game starts, all right, a couple things here. So, I'm talking to Matt Kostelenik, good coach. We're talking. I say, hey, I got this player spotlight series thing. Just had head coach Ron Run on it from Bay Village. We're starting to have, coaches on it. Why don't you come on? Okay, cool, Vince, no problem. Set it up. So I start walking down the sidelines. Who do I see sitting there but Michael Corbo, Kai Kualu, Gage Dusler, Matt Olstrom. And I walk past, says, hey, Nacho Boys, just joking with them. And, Gage starts laughing, and we start talking about the Nacho thing. And I said, talking about the show, Player Spotlight Series. Hey, you want to come on? All right, cool. So they go on. They look phenomenal again. Can't say it enough. Their defense that night, okay, the skill players get all the attention. I get that, all right? But Kai Kualu, a defensive back, he'll be the first one to tell you. It's the line that does the work that allows him to shut down receivers sometimes. Those lines do a phenomenal job. McKinley, Sintik, I'm drawing a blank again. Both lines, offensive and defensive lines, did a phenomenal job, okay? That's why Avon Lake dominated the line of scrimmage so often. They went on that shutout streak. That night, North Olmsted couldn't get the ball past their own 25-yard line. If you can imagine that, a high school football team couldn't get past their own 25-yard line because Avon Lake shut them down. 35-0, running clock, bada-boom, bada-bing, we all go home by 9:30. So, 2 days later, I send to Gage Dusler. I say, hey, man, we love, good game. I think it was player of the week that week, too. And I said, it was Harry A. Beer. But either way. So, I said to Gage, hey, why don't you come on the show, Player Spotlight Series. We'll do a little interview thing. It'll be a lot of fun. He brings on 3 of his teammates. That's awesome. So, he brings on Griffin Lydiard, Jacob Sintik, Kevin McKinley. Well, hell yeah, I'm going to say yes to that. That's team atmosphere. We have a great episode. I think we go 35 strong minutes. We're laughing about, good places to eat, places I've never been, out in Avon Lake, Friday Night Lights. We're having a blast. So I said, Michael Corbo doesn't have any kind of social media that I could find because I don't have Instagram. I'd love to have Corbo on the show one day. So I got off the phone with Gage and the boys. 2 minutes later, I got a text from Michael Corbo. He's available. He wants to come on the show. Well, of course I'm going to do that immediately. Airs our interview with Michael Corbo. Get a message from Nathan Sidolowski. I'd like to come on the show. All right, Nate, let's have you on. Bada boom, bada bing, there's an interview with Nate. And then I already had the one scheduled with Matthew Kostelenik. Harry Abear wins the player of the week that week. All right, so perfect storm, guys. Picture this if you will. Friday night, we do the Avon Lake football game. They destroy North Olmsted. All right. Within the next 5 days, we have Gage Dusler, Jacob Sintik, Kevin McKinley, Griffin Lydiard, Michael Corbo, Nathan Sidolowski, and the coach set 7 figures from Avon Lake on the show in the next 4 days after I just covered their win. All right? Then, on top of that, Harry Abear wins our Jenny's Old Fashioned Player, Popcorn Player of the Week. So that's 8 kids and seven kids and a coach in a matter of 6 days get featured by Keon Sports. You don't think that's going to piss some people off? hey, I didn't do it on purpose. They earned it. Every one of those kids earned it. The coach earned it. The team earned it. The community earned it. We are fair to people here on Keon Sports. You know, I had had Joey Lance on the show the previous week. I had had Danny Zay on the show earlier in the season. I swear to God, I swear on my life, as much as I love my two little daughters, I would never favorite a kid. I would never favorite a team. I would never favorite a school. I've said it flat out. Breeden Park, yes, I feel like I'm at home. However, when I call their games, it's always 50-50. When I wrote about their games, it was 50-50. Same with Rocky River. I do not openly root for people. All right, flat out, let's answer that right now. But when you have that many of like Shoreman on your show in a week, that's what happens. Like, it just, I didn't do it on purpose. It's just the way that it went. So moving on from that, we go to week 10. And so the schedule was like this, okay? The schedule was week 9, you had Olmsted Falls 7-1, Avon 8-0. That was supposed to be the game I was supposed to do. Ended up not being able to do it. That's why I did Avon Lake. Well, Olmsted Falls still had a shot at the playoffs. Ended up making it anyways. But Olmsted Falls, 7-2. Avon Lake, 8-1. Of course I'm going to do that game. It's the biggest game on the docket. So for the second week in a row and the third time in the season, I did an Avon Lake game. So people who are already thinking I was favoring them probably didn't do them too many favors that week by, again, having Avon Lake. So Avon Lake comes out, gives up their first touchdown in weeks. Olmsted Falls comes right down the field and scores, takes a 6-0 lead. Kind of a shocker. Olmsted Falls, a young team. They got a great coach in Tom DeLuca. Absolutely, he's one of my favorite coaches, a great human being. But yeah, I mean, Olmsted Falls jumps out to an early lead. Me and Ruben are like, wow, we might have ourselves a game. Sure enough, Avon Lake turns it around. Michael Corbo running that beautiful RPO. Gage Duesler had a huge night. Duesler went off, 3 touchdowns, almost 200 yards. Duesler actually, it was so cold that night too. I remember it was freezing week 10, absolutely freezing. But so Duesler gets player of the week. Avon Lake rolls to 9-1. Olmsted Falls drops to 7-3. Both teams looked impressive. Even in a loss, to me, Olmsted Falls looked very impressive. And you look at that then, and it's like, well, of course we're going to do that game. But again, Vince, why are you doing 2 straight Avon Lake games? What's going on with you and Avon Lake? Hey, you're going to do the games that you're going to do. So we go to, and then Gage, like I said, Gage wins player of the week. So for the second straight week, I do an Avon Lake game. For the second straight week, an Avon Lake kid wins player of the week. So yeah, I can see where some people were getting pissed off. But to my defense on this, first of all, the kid deserved it. He played his ass off. Gage Duesler was the best running back that week in the state. He deserved the award. And number two, I have no say-so over who wins the award. Something I tried to explain earlier in the year to a Rocky River parent. I have zero say. I get one vote, right? So I shouldn't have zero say-so. I have a little tiny teensy bit. We all vote, and then the fans vote, and the fans vote contains 30% of the total vote. So the staff votes, that's 70%, and the fans vote, there's the other 30%. So, and what's funny is that week, I don't even know if I voted for Gage. I guess it doesn't even really matter. But at the end of the day, it's not me picking the winner every week. It's our staff and it's the fans. It just happened to be that 2 straight weeks and Avon Lake kid won. So we go to week 1 of the playoffs, week 11 of the season. And at this point, you really have to choose wisely where everybody's going to be. I saw the numbers coming in, and I knew, okay, number one, we need to cover Avon. Number two, we need to cover Avon Lake. Number three, we need to cover Mentor. Number four, we need to cover whoever St. Ed's is playing. So we knew, based on the numbers of where they were all coming in, what obviously Kirtland. Kirtland's huge, too. So we knew which games to cover. All right, well, Ruben wanted to cover Avon. He knows him well. Said, okay, Rubano, you go cover Avon. I'll go cover Avon Lake. So for the third straight week, I'm in Avon Lake. The first time they played North Olmsted. But the third straight week, I'm covering Avon Lake. They played Maple Heights, the Mustangs. Good team there. Maple Heights ran the ball like crazy. The second string quarterback, he gets hurt on the last play of the first half, and it was still a tight game. Avon Lake, man, they had their money's worth in that first half of Maple Heights. However, the Shoremen go in at halftime. They make the adjustments they need to make. They come out. They dominate the second half. I think we eventually even got to that running clock really late. Another freezing cold night. Shoremen win it. Shoremen advance. And at that point, this might have been the night. I don't remember. I think it was the next day. So I have Kai Kualu, who's just a great kid. He's going into the military. I can't speak highly enough of Kai. Honorable young man, as is almost every single person I had in the player spotlight this season. Just blown away. We did a 45-minute segment. Incredible kid. Incredible interview. Bright future for that young man. Very proud of him. So Kai's on the show. You know, everything's great. We go into the next week. So we're going in now, and it's Avon Lake again. I'm going to cover him again. I sent Ruben out to cover Avon. They played Benedictine. This time around, it's Avon Lake, and they are playing against Wadsworth, and they get down early. They come back. Wadsworth takes another lead. Avon Lake gets down again, comes back. And in the fourth quarter begins that night with Wadsworth in the lead at Strongsville High School. Freezing cold weather. Avon Lake, like I've said all year long, knew how to create turnovers. They were a turnover machine on defense. They did it again. They would sack the quarterback, force fumbles, get interceptions. There's a reason why they had so many shutouts. There's a reason why they had three games where a team only scored once. It was that defense. That defense was that damn good. That night, they showed you why. They were able to shut down Wadsworth late, tie the game, regain the lead, and then expand the lead to the point where they could put it away up by 10 with a few minutes to go. A phenomenal job out of Avon Lake. I go down on the field, and it was one of the coolest things that has ever happened to me as a sports writer, an announcer, you know, something that I'll never forget the rest of my life, and I'll tell you about it in a second. This was the post game of Avon Lake. They had just beat Wadsworth. They were going to get that long-awaited rematch that they wanted with Avon. They had waited, you know, whatever it was at the point, 14 weeks. 12 weeks to play Avon again. Avon Lake was waiting for that. They were going to get their rematch. Emotions were high. Just crazy. First time I'd ever been on a field post game listening to a coach give a pep talk to his kids after a win or a loss, in which the student athletes started chanting my name, in this case, Keon Sports. Unfreaking believable. I mean, if anybody's still listening at the 53 mark to begin with, God bless you. But just the coolest thing ever, to have a group of kids like that chant Keon Sports and cheer. Guys, I was frozen solid. It was so cold that night in Strongsville, but I instantly warmed up. That made my night. Couldn't sleep for the next 2 days. Just something so cool. A cool emotional moment for myself, knowing, you know, the risk I took a year ago opening up Keon Sports. To have that, I've never seen that in my life. I've never seen a team chant the name of an announcer, a writer, nothing like it. So, guys, all of you who did that in the Avon Lake huddle, thank you. Again, got me in some serious hot water with Avon parents, but it was worth it. Hopefully, you know, I made up to them. They know I love them as well. And just one of those things, you know, one of the coolest moments of my entire sports life. I'll never forget it. And thank you. The following week, it was Avon versus Avon Lake. I was not there. I made sure to stay away from that game. I wanted to cover it badly, to be honest with you. But I knew the emotions were high. My wife also had planned a night away for us and a bed and breakfast on that Friday night. I knew there were going to be playoff games Saturday. And, you know, she was cool about it, too. She said, look, if you want to go cover Avon Lake, I will cancel our, you know, our weekend away or our night away. I'll let you do it. And I said, you know what, honey? I'm gone constantly. And this, what I do at Keon Sports, wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for my wife. You guys have to remember, I'm gone, you know, 13 to 15 straight Friday, usually 15 straight Friday nights during the fall, and then a ton of Friday nights during the winter time with hockey and basketball. So I'm gone, man. 15 straight Friday nights away from my wife and girls. Sometimes I do those doubles for Anacia, so I'm gone 2 straight nights. I do boxing, I'm gone 2 straight nights. That was during a stint. 2 straight weekends I was gone on a Saturday night. Week 10 of the football season and week 1 of the playoffs of the football season, I was gone on Saturday night doing boxing. So, you know, 2 straight weekends in a row I was doing doubles. And I said, hell no. No. You plan this night away for us. We're going to go. We're going to do it. I didn't want to talk about canceling. I didn't care about money. I just wanted to be alone with my wife. So it turned out to be a wild night. I watched from our hotel the highlights of all the games. It was Hoban versus Maslin that night. It was Chardon versus Aurora. It was obviously the big one, Avon Lake. It was Mentor, St. Ed's. It was like Super Bowl night in the history of high school football in one night. You know, it was amazing. I was home the next night, though. I was back by Saturday night, and I went and covered Kirtland, Joey Gardner, and the boys. Luke Gardner. Joey Garcia, Luke Gardner. It was Joey Torok who used to run for them. But Luke Gardner and the Kirtland Hornets, Tiger Laverty, just a phenomenal program. They ran all over Ethan Wright and the Manchester Panthers, I believe it is, Akron Manchester. And I knew that night that nobody was stopping Kirtland. They play team football. It's an atmosphere like I've never seen before with them. Just incredible, incredible stuff. So that was it for me. That was going to be the 13 straight weekends of high school football. I enjoyed every second of it. The semifinals, I did not cover. I was covering the Tim Alexander Hockey Tournament. I did make it out there last weekend. Me and Alexa out there in Canton all weekend brought you all 7 state championship football games. We hope you guys enjoyed them, and we hope you enjoyed the season. Obviously, Maslin did not win, but you know what? They played hard. I was very, very impressed with Aiden Longwell, not only as an athlete, more so as a student and a person. I got to talk with him a couple days later, just blown away with how humble he was. I realize the Maslin fan base is passionate, maybe not for everybody. I've seen them do some things that I really didn't care for. But overall, you know, just to take the advice of Aiden, you know, he said he wouldn't want to play anywhere else in the world, and I don't blame him. You know, it's got to feel nice to have that kind of support. So all that aside, guys, thank you for joining us this hour. We appreciate it. Keon Sports had a magical year. I'll never forget it. You know, like I said, 14 of 15 weeks, I was in a press box, either calling or writing games, a lot of time doing both. Magical moments, the Hail Mary, you know, Clarkson North, my guy Eli next to me that night that it happened, that crazy week 2 with Tyler against Brunswick. All the fun I had with my main man, my partner there, Ruben Rodriguez. Just an incredible, incredible season. I want to thank everybody, every athletic director, every coach who took time to talk to me, every single parent who reached out to me to thank me for covering their children. Just being the special people that you are. Again, you know, so many, it just jumps out. It kills me inside that I never really hear from anybody from North Olmsted. It's my own hometown. You know, an ounce of support would be nice. But outside of that bitterness, you know, definitely Avon Lake, Berea Mid Park, Rocky River, Columbia. You know, I hate leaving people out, but in Olmsted Falls as well, we had on Jake Politowski, their place kicker on the Player Spotlight Series. That episode went viral. Just amazing, amazing fan base there. But again, everybody, it's been a dream come true this past year. You know, it was a year ago, you know, this weekend that I thought to myself, hey, I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to leave NEO. I'm going to do my own thing. Thank God every day that I did. And again, no knock on them. I miss them, actually. I miss it terribly. But I am so happy with the decision that I made. It's all the same things I used to do and more. And it feels incredible to have the team around me that I do. So to those people as well, Mike Trevisano, Scott Piker, Tyler Stotsky, Ruben Rodriguez, Alex Wirtha, Tony Bogan, Mike Rogers, Jeff Lamshire, everybody who stepped up this year, thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope I didn't leave anybody out. Guys, the biggest thing we do is that Player Spotlight Series. We're going to keep doing it for hockey and basketball and wrestling. So if you know anybody that you want featured on the Player Spotlight Series, have them reach out to me, coachvin14@yahoo.com. For you fans of The Office, I'm going to let Creed Bratton play you out. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. God bless. Enjoy your Christmas.
I saw a friend today, it had been a while, and we forgot each other's names. But it didn't matter, cause deep inside the feeling still remained the same. We talked of knowing one before you met, and how you feel more than you see. other worlds that lie in spaces in between, and angels you can see, and all the faces that I know have that same familiar glow. I think I must have known them somewhere once before, all the faces that I know.